great spirit, whose voice I hear in the winds, and whose breath gives life to all the world. Hear me. I am small and weak. I need your strength and wisdom. Let me walk in beauty and make my eyes ever behold the red and purple sunset. Make my hands respect the things you have made, and my ears sharp to hear your voice. Make me wise so I may understand the things you have taught my people. Let me learn the lessons you have hidden in every leaf and rock. I seek strength not to be greater than my brother, but to fight my greatest enemy, myself. Make me always ready to come to you with clean hands and straight eyes. So when life fades as a fading sunset, my spirit may come to you without shame.
Leonard Peltier may have played in it, but someone has to pay for the crime. nights that I lay in my cell and can't understand why this hell and this terror that I've been going through for 21 years hasn't ended.
Still have the United States flag. We come from the people who have that. Still have the United States flag that was taken at Little Bighorn. The United States can never take that back, no matter what. That day can't be undone. And since then, to save face, they have done everything they could to humiliate us and annihilate us. They did Wounded Knee, and again showed their might at the second Wounded Knee. And on June 26, 1975, they did it again. They showed their might. They landed right behind my house in a big helicopter, unloaded 500 military men, and held me at gunpoint while I was sitting in the outhouse. But I walked to my door. They tried to come in, but I pushed them off my porch, went back in, kept my day going. If they wanted to kill me, they could have. It wouldn't be, they can't kill my spirit. They can't kill the spirit of our people. We'll always come back. No matter how they are, it doesn't, that's not what it's about. It's about what's in the heart and what we do for one another. But I'm very proud of myself.
Gorillas are those who know their power to make something out of nothing. The type of people that would hate were people that were turned against them. They create turntables, you know, and spin back history, cut it up, redefine it, and change something that makes sense to them, that will make sense for their people, whether it's psychological sense, spiritual, emotional. Gorillas are those that are there channeling that energy through love, through resistance, and making it something that will last.
will find the answers. So I encourage all people to find out about themselves. They're there. It didn't go away. It's still in the air. That's still in the air. So sacred. Every word we say will always be on this universe forever. Nothing can wipe it away. You can erase that tape, but you can't erase my words. Every sound we make, that's why they say, be careful what you say. Everything. So some people who go up, in a big air balloon, you know those big balloons? They say they can hear voices up there. Our voices are still all over. I just want to say thank you for this.
This is the Tashunka Witko Brigade, and you're listening to us from Free Radio Olympia, your unlicensed effort in the Olympia area. We try to bring you the indigenous voice unaltered. We refuse to take part of the mainstream media that brainwashes our people. So we want to bring you the real voices from the front lines. And we started the show with a prayer by Dakota Elder Melvin Gray Owl. And as usually we do, followed by Robbie Robertson's Sacrifice with the voice of Leonard Peltier, who is completing 30 years in prison for defending his people and his land. And there is, as far as we know, he will continue to be there unless the creator, Tonkashula, helps us out. In a few minutes, you will also hear from Rosalind Jumping Bull, the elder, the head of the Jumping Bull family, where the infamous incident at Oglala happened. And the main purpose for contacting her is so that she can let us know what are the needs for the children. The Leonard Peltier Defense Committee every year gets a holiday gift drive going, and there's a truck going from Illinois that will be taking clothes, winter clothes, and gifts for the children of the Pine Ridge Reservation. And she'll give us details on what is most needed and what the situation is right now. So these are voices from the ground, indigenous voices. And later on, of course, we will have commentary by Wambli Watakpe, my co-host. And this is Tanya here with the Tashunka Witko Brigade.
there's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
In the spirit of the flower,
we choose the way of Earth.
In the spirit of Zapata, and in the spirit of crazy horse, crazy horse, crazy. To your mother, all my sisters and brothers, a sagrada donna, seeing the sacred earth mother, but she's only half alive, she's only half alive, but we needed to survive, we needed to survive, but we lost all our connection to the circle and the sacred four directions, the sacred 4D and its manifestations, reveals on Mateo and all creation, from the mother to the earth, to the sky, to the father, to the earth, to the air, to the fire, to the water, to the north, to the south, to the east, to the west, when we used to live in harmony, we used to live the best, we used to give and take, we used to take and give, we used to be in balance, that's how we used to live, this is sacred circle, this is our connection, our mother is sick and she's cut up all sections, how it was and how it still be, unless we understand this, we will never be free, we will never be free, unless we live in harmony, in harmony, free, unless we realize prophecy, cause prophecy is Aslan, Aslan's destiny, destiny is Aslan, cause Aslan holds a key, Aslan holds a key for our people to be free, Aslan holds a key for the world to see that Aslan will save the world eventually, eventually. That Aslan will save the world 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 eventually.
They can't break our spirit.
Hello. My name is Blacksmith Lakota. My Lakota name is Dwayawashtewi. It means Good Scout Woman. And I am Oglala, Hohwoju, Itazipacho, and Hunkpapa. Those are my ancestors, and I know my ancestors way back, seven generations, and very important, that identity, very important to me so that I can tell my children who I am, and most of all, my values. I did not always know this, because I grew up in, the way I grew up was through this modern education way, European education system, through Christianity. And yet somewhere in all that, I never did fit into those institutions. And I was always trying to be somebody I'm not. Deep inside, I always knew that it wasn't for me. And that tailspin me into a life of alcoholism. So 20 years of my life, I went into the road of alcoholism, but I had to be down on my face before I could get back up and find out. And only through returning, being brought back to the sacred center, the circle of the Lakota, our own way of life, that I am Lakota. Only then did I have the strength to stand up and face myself. And that's where we have a lot of our young people confused, because they grew up wanting to be somebody they're not. Today they idolize the sports people, you know, and they hang posters all over the wall of people they'll never be. They have all these real tall black basketball players hanging on the walls, and they have all these white wrestlers hanging on a wall, and that's somebody that they'll never be. And they can be proud, they can be happy for them, but to try to be somebody they're not is loss of identity. And that's the strongest, I think it's a strong element in a person's life. When they lose that, there's nothing. When they don't know who they are, gonna be. And here in the community, as a mother, as an auntie, as a grandmother, after I recover and start to relearn about our own way of life, I find out that there's a real strong spiritual core there that is a foundation, and that we had a way of life that was guided, and through the sacred circle. Have you ever seen a medicine wheel? Yeah, with the four quadrants. Yeah, those are all stages of our life. And when a young child passes their rites of passage, they're immediately put into a society. So they belong to whatever it is that they're very good at in the Teoshpaye, in the band, and in the clan of family. And today we don't have that. We really push European education, and so we find nothing, you know, of their own. Whatever it is, we don't search their own, because the Lakota way, we believe that everybody comes here with a gift from the spirit world, and we're to share that gift and find strength with others who have the same gift. For example, people, there were societies of people who knew how to take care of animals, take care of the land, and take care of the quill work, the tanning of hides, preparation of foods, all preparation of tools, singing, and the art of dancing. There were storytellers. There were people who kept history. In all these societies, whatever it was, even if it was just taking care of the birds, it was a society. And they had, and so because it takes strength to take care of something so precious, so gentle. But we don't have that today. Instead, it's been replaced with the modern conveniences of a TV and all the video games that are on today, and their heads focused to some rich person, and in that there's no identity, so they become frustrated, and today they form gangs. So they're on the right path. They want to form a support group, so it's there, but the hope is to turn it into a society. We here in Oglala, we have 1970s, my uncle Harry Jumpin' Bull and my father, blacksmith, they brought back the Kit Fox or Tokala Society to this Teoshpaye, this band here. And my father knew the songs, so they passed on the songs and the dance. It's keeping that going here amidst our own people here, it's a hardship. We brought in the society last night, and they're very happy, the society, and yet they don't know, they don't realize we had to really beg for that time to bring them in. And some society members just walked in as I was on my way over here. But I don't know if they're going to give us the time tonight, because some of these people are afraid of these societies, because they think it's fast and not important. But to be a Tokala, it's to thine own self be true. A Tokala is not a club. It is a person who the basis of a Tokala in Lakota says, Taku otehi kaheniu hamiemi tawa. All the hardships are mine. So a Tokala embraces all challenges and owns them, and therefore overcomes them, no matter what that challenge may be. And so to the Tokala means he is true to himself. And when he's true to himself, then only then can a Tokala help others. Because we can't help anybody else unless we're on solid ground. So during the rites of passage with young women, I have been involved in that. That came to me as a gift, well-respected man. His name is Edwin Fills the Pipe. He passed away 6 months after he gave me this through his daughter. She was 6 years old. He gave me her through the making of a relative ceremony and asked me to rites of passage. 6 months later, he passed away. And I didn't know what he meant at that time, but only when this young girl became a woman then I understood what he meant. So through that, we started the womanhood in 1992. And we've been working with it. Every summer we try to have a place for the young women, and now there's young boys. So in this community, I work with what we call Ina Omaniche, Mother's Council, and we gather. We don't have formal meetings, but when the time is right, usually springtime, like in March, we're going to have a society gathering. And we're hoping to call young people tonight here on December 31st, 2000. We're trying to call for introductions. I mean, people who want to be inducted into the society. I acknowledge them. But once we don't have membership dues or anything like that. We don't have any requirements of them. We just tell them the teachings. And what they don't know, they must seek out for themselves. And but we always have to believe in them as human beings, no matter what, no matter the constant belief in them. And so we've been working with that society, myself and other mothers and fathers and grandfathers in this community, with restoring rites of passages and restoring the societies. Right now, the only one we have here is the Tokala Kit Fox Society. And from here, the society ways, but a lot of times they try to call on us like we're a club, like a boys' club or girls' club, and expect us to perform like that. But it's to develop that person's, help him to rather than enabling them, but to help them go through their hardships and face them and overcome them. That's the challenge. Because here on this reservation, you know, Pine Ridge, I have seen a lot of change and a lot of growth, positive-wise. Too many times we dwell on a negative. And as for the poverty, they say that's here, the economic poverty, that's what it is. Yet we've overcome that. And we're really, you know, I'm really happy.
And you were listening of Philomene Blacksmith Lakota. And here on the phone we have live Grandma Rosalind Jumping Bull, who will tell us a little bit about the situation in Pine Ridge right now with the winter starting. And there's been some elders, some very important elders that have passed on to the spirit world. And there are things that need to be done when these things happen. So people that who care out there and want to help, Rosalind will give us some hints of what's needed. But before that, I would like for Wambli Watakpe to introduce the Jumping Bull family and Rosalind, Grandma Rosalind.
Hello. Yeah, this is Russ. I know.
And I was supposed to talk on this. Am I talking now? Do you have me on now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're live now. I was going to do an introduction to the Olympia audience. This is Wambli Watakpe. Uh-huh. And I got my name from Rosalind's family in 1982. This is my grandmother, my Lakota grandmother. And so I'd like to introduce you, Rosalind, to the Free Olympia Radio. So welcome. So maybe you can give us a little introduction on who you are, and then we can talk about some of the issues about the elders that have passed, and then also the toy drive for that you're directing, and then maybe we can go into some history.
This is Rosalind Jumping Bull, and I'm calling from Pine Ridge, mostly Oglala area. And we have a lot of problems in the wintertime with Some people are sitting here without lights or without propane. And what the elderly really need over here is blankets, maybe. And some other people are donating heaters, but it's no good when you don't have no electricity. So we're kind of having a little hard time now. It's really cold, and some of the children, they don't have warm clothes. I worked at the library, and some of the kids go to school without socks. Some still have sandals on, you know, summer shoes on. And there's a lot of other ways, and a lot of them, now I'm getting socks and stuff, stocking caps and gloves for the kids. But I take them to the school, Longmont School, because that's where I'm working. And we give it out to the children. Every classroom gets, we make sure every classroom gets something, like socks or a stocking cap and gloves with toys, you know, wrapped in toys. And so.
Do you have a phone number or somewhere to people can call or write that in case they wanted to make donations?
Well, I don't know about. Yeah, probably here, because I've been doing this for I don't know how many years now, because Leonard asked me to do this for the children, so they could contact me here. But I work in the mornings for 4 hours, and I come back in the afternoon. So mostly I am around in the afternoon. And it's kind of hard to get loan in school, because there's no phone to, just to the front desk, you know, and they'll transfer you to the library where I'm working. But that's how we do business. I mean, do things. I'm the librarian, the one I'm working with. We take care of all this toys and stuff. You know, she helps me. Well, she does a lot of work for me. You know, she'll have a few of them wrap presents and stuff like that. So
could you? What is the situation with the weather? And you said it was cold, and maybe some of the people around here think.
Right now, there's another blizzard coming. We just got through it. Well, it was cold since first part of December. It's been blizzard over here, so it's really cold. And some of this, there's a trailer court right behind my house, and those people, their pipes busted, and my son here takes, he works for the Oglala, the White Clay District. But he used to work with FEMA, so those are FEMA trailer houses. So if anything happens, they call him right away. He goes over there and, you know, shuts the water off and or change pipes and everything for them, you know. So and he stays here with me. So there's a lot of work, you know, that needs to be done to help them through the summer, through the winter. Summer's all right. Without lights and stuff, but winter time that you can't do that because it's too cold.
What is the temperature there?
Well, today was 41, I think, somewhere around that.
41, is that?
It's going to drop again, I don't know.
Is that 41 degrees below zero?
Yeah, sometimes, zero all the way. We're about 1 week straight, I think. But now it went up to 41, I think, and still another big storm is coming. So it got really windy this afternoon. So it's kind of up and down. I don't know. We always have a hard winter anyway. So.
Can you talk a little bit about the passing of Geraldine and even your brother? And
my brother passed away July 1st. That's where we have the shootout, you know. So we always have that gathering there on June 26th. And yeah, he passed away July 1st. and Geraldine, we just buried her today, and she helps me with toy drive. You know, Leonard Peltier's toy drive. Leonard told me and picked me and her to do the toy drive, but she passed away. So I don't know what's going to happen there. But and for my brother, we're getting ready for his memorial for next year. I think we're going to, I don't know what we're going to do. I think we're not going to have the June 26th memorial at any, we're going to have it earlier. I think my brother, we're going to have his memorial on the 18th. So June 18th, Father's Day. So I think that's what we're going to do, and kind of let this other one go till next year maybe. But I want to do something for Geraldine too, honor, you know, that same day I want to have an honoring, what do you call, for her too. Because I and her were the only ones that left. And here she's gone now. So. But Leonard's supposed to call her, I don't know, or call her daughter. I don't know if he did or not. Deliver a message. Oh, me call her on the phone, but I don't know if she ever got the message. I forgot to ask her.
Yeah, maybe for the people around here, they don't really know that much about the shootout and the incident in the incident of Oglala. So, and for our listeners out there, the Roseland is the family member of the. Of the ranch area in called the Jumping Bull Ranch, in which the FBI agents entered their property, serving a warrant for, as it turns out, a fictitious warrant for a person that they knew wasn't on the property, and that ensued into a battle, a firefight, in which. Two of the FBI agents that started the fight were killed, and then along with Joe Stuntz. And so, Rosalind, you can jump in here and explain a little bit about that, if you would.
About the shootout?
Yeah, just give a historical account or in your own words, and then...
them boys were Leonard and... them boys were with us, and they lived there with us, but we've been having ceremonies and sweats with them, and they were just there to help the elderly, you know, because that time the goon squads were really bad, so that's why the boys were there, and they used to live a little ways away from our place, but then they, after them people over there wanted to use their house, that they moved into our area, you know, in the woods there, and that's where they were staying. They only stayed about 2 weeks when the shootout started, you know. So. But Joe Stuntz got killed there, and a whole lot of people were there, and I don't know what happened. I wasn't there that time, but afterwards, you know, the FBI said it was Leonard and them that done that, and that's how come Leonard's in jail now, you know.
And
nobody didn't really see anything, you know. They really didn't see him thin, or anything. But it's by hearsay that they're using that on him, and now he's still in jail, and my folks lost their home, you know.
The government for many years has contended that these agents were actually executed. So, but according to what you're saying, none of that ever took place. So nobody really knows how the agents died, but we do know how Joe Stuntz died, right?
Yeah, I think my dad thinks that they killed him someplace else, but they dragged him up on a hill, you know, where we used to live. by our place, and then they must have killed him down there someplace, but they brought him up there, and they put an FBI jacket on him and everything. It don't fit him, but I guess the jacket was too small, my dad said, you know. That's what happened, and so they must have shot him down there someplace. He said he found a lot of blood down there earlier, you know, when he went down there, he said. So he said, I think that's where they killed him, he was saying. But nobody didn't even look into those things, you know. Just they come right out and they just blame Leonard right away.
And so the houses that were there, they're not there any longer, are they?
Just a log house there, but it's ready to fall over anyway.
And so
the other one, it's no good, so it fell apart, so they took it all. You know, they threw the boards and everything away.
How many
things there?
It's like it was a one-room cabin, is that?
Is no, that, 1, 2, 3 rooms.
Three rooms, but small, right?
Uh-huh.
How many bullet holes were in that house?
Oh, gee, I don't know. whole bunch, I think.
So the force that showed up to supposedly fight this cold-blooded killing just shot at anything and everything, right?
Oh, yes. And that little log house, there were some white people were there last summer. They were counting bullet holes. You know, and they found some shells, too, shell casings and stuff like that, but...
So next year you're not going to hold the commemoration, but you're going to do the memorial instead, right?
Yeah, we probably have to do the memorial in June, you know, for my brother, because he's the one that lived there, and he's the one that, you know, let him go there and have their thing, you know, going. But since he's not here for a while, we thought we'll just let it go for a while.
When I was back to the summer, you said something about the family was going to do a Sundance. Are you postponing that?
We're still having that. Right after we buried, my brother died in July 1st in August. Them boys still dance. They said they're just going to keep on going. And my son used to run it, but he lost his uncle, so his one of his adopted. They used to Sundance up there, the Longhawk family, you know. So it's right little ways from there. That's where.
Oh, okay.
Sundance.
And do you have a number for people to call you and as far as the?
Well, this number here, it's 867-2231.
867-2.
Area code.
Yeah, 605. 867-2231.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I was wondering if you might want to take a little bit of time to explain who your family is. Your mother, and talk about, if you would, the name that I have, Wambli Watakhpe. You know the name that I have, Wambli Watakhpe?
Okay.
You give a little sort of a historical reference to that name, and also who your parents were and who the family is.
My folks are Harry and Cecilia Jumping Bull. My dad's great grandfather was Sitting Bull, you know, from North Dakota. He's from 48th area, down North Dakota, and my dad. That's where my dad got his name, Jumping Bull. And we live here. I'm 73 years old now, and that's, you know, we lived here way before that, you know. And we've been. My has cattle and horses there, and because my brother, oldest brother that was killed in World War II, he got kind of this fatty share, they call it, when you're 18 years old, the government gives you, you know, something. So he gave him a cow, and so, and a calf, I think, cow with a calf or something. So he had him, and that was when he got killed in 1944 in Battle of Bulge in Germany. So the cattle were still there. We still have them up to this day. But my dad, he kept those cattle there. Pretty soon we have about 40, I think. But that's how come we still lived there, you know. We lived there for a long time. And Mom and Dad really likes, you know, boys visiting them, you know, because I think they kind of miss my brother, my oldest one. And so when boys go there, they accept them, you know. They ask them if they could stay or if they have any place to, you know, they want to stay with them. They let them stay there, you know. So that's how come these boys were there. And they came to help the elderly, but then they don't have nowhere to go. So when they ask them, you can stay here, well, you're welcome anytime. My mom, that's my mother's land, you know. So that's how come we live. We used to have a big community garden there, and we have them. We have some cellars there that we put. Mom and Dad put potatoes in there, and squash and everything. They have a big garden, so everybody comes and help with the garden. And all winter long, they use that. They use those stuff to, you know. They use the vegetables. They come after potatoes. Neighbors, you know, we're all related. All related there. So that's how we live on that ranch, you know, that place where the shootout was. But a lot of people always go there. And when my dad built the first house, they all come and help. We don't have to pay anybody to build it. The whole community came and helped build my dad's house. Both of them, one down below and one up on top. And that's how come we have them houses there. And then if anybody else wants to build house, then my dad and them all go and help, you know. They put up houses like that. We all help each other. We don't do that anymore. We have to pay our own grandchildren to do things for us. But long time ago, nobody pays, you know, each other for doing things. They all help each other. So that's how come we have that big garden there.
And your mom, what is her family line? I mean, who is her family?
Well, my mother is a black elk, you know. And she's originally from, I think she's from, she grew up in Allen, South Dakota, someplace that way. And my dad was born in Standing Rock, but my grandmother brought him back over here and enroll him over here, so that's where he's from. That's where, but we have land in Standing Rock. We get lease money from Standing Rock, you know.
So, but so your dad is, that's, he's not Oglala, he's Onk Papa?
Onk Papa, yeah, he's supposed to be, but he's not enrolled over there. See, my grandmother's from here, so she went and brought him back over here and enrolled him in this reservation.
So you're on your great grandparents' side, you're related to Sitting Bull on your dad's side, and your and your mom is related to
too, you know, so.
On Black Elk on the other side.
Yeah, Black Elk is. I think he's from here, Black Elk.
I know. Stella came is a Bad Heart Bull. That she grew up from the out in the Blacktail Deer District. And then when I was back there a couple summers ago, or several, when Sam and them were alive, and we went out there, and we went by this house. It was like a Model A Ford there or some kind of. It's now a flower pot, but as he was saying, that's where Old Man Black Elk lived out that way.
Oh, yeah, I think my mother and my dad from number four, a little ways from here. They used to live over there. I mean, my grandfather and my grandma.
Oh, okay. So, and then in 1982, I had relocated back to the reservation there, and I was trying to help around there. And I was given this name, Wombly Watakpe, and we were at the round building. And Harry was singing, sang the hookah song, and your mom and Stella and all of the women were asking me if I had a native Indian name, and I said I didn't have one. So they gave me this name. Okay, well, we lost our connection here momentarily. So anyway, the... I was given this name, and I was involved in raising funds for community building, or community dinner. And then what happened was, as a result of that, I was given this honor, and I got this name, Wombly Watakpe, which means charging eagle. And the name itself was originally intended for Joe Stuntz, who grew up in Port Angeles by way of Coeur d'Alene. He's a Coeur d'Alene tribe. And the shootout happened in 1975. I don't know why they call it a shootout, because it actually was just defense of the land. I mean, the FBI can go around and say that everybody's attacking these guys, but they're the ones that have the guns. They're the ones that arm and supply and do the murder, death, kill on everybody. But in this case, they had entered onto the property under false pretenses, and as a result, there was a battle. And that's what happened. And there wasn't no execution or whatever. And at that time, that's when Joe Stuntz was killed. In the line of, in the most honorable way, in the defense of his land and in defense of his people. And so in 1975, he was killed, and then 7 years later, I happened to move back and relocate, and I was doing these activities in Oglala through the Lone Man School, and I got this name, and so that's the history of the name.
We lost the Grandma Jumping Bull's connection because we ran out of our phone card, I'm afraid. But if you're interested in donating for the needs of the Oglala people in Pine Ridge, or for just the gift drive for the children, you can send your donations to Rosalind Jumping Bull, Box 207, Oglala, South Dakota, 57764. And you're listening to the Tashunka Witko Brigade on Free Radio Olympia. 98.5. I'm having a little trouble.